Maybe I should introduce myself as an old Greenwood Hiller. My first advent was in 1934. And I spent part of my honeymoon on the Labor Day Conference, 1936. So I'm an old-timer. This morning, for our scripture, the fifth chapter of Matthew. And you'll have to rely on my memory. I am legally blind. Wasn't always that way. But I have to get along now with what's between my ears. And sometimes I wonder how much is left between those ears. We have what is called the Sermon on the Mount. Wonderful sermon that came from the lips of him who spake as never man otherwise. As a matter of fact, he said, all that I have, the Father hath made known to me, I have told you. And part of that is in this sermon. It must be very important because it takes up three chapters. And we're not going to dispensate it and say it belongs way off somewhere. Much of it is applicable and is even a commandment for today. All right. Verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was sat, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and spake unto them, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn. There are two of us here that are recent widowers. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Here's one for our president, Clinton. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. How many politicians today qualify? Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. A condition. If there's anybody here hungering and thirsting after righteousness, here's a valid promise. They shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Here's a big one. Blessed are the pure in heart. Right, you measure up. Here's the blessing. They shall see God. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you. Rejoice! And be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven. Interested in rewards? We're going to have the Olympics this year. Here's a reward for you. Great is your reward in heaven. You may be having a hard time where you're working. Persecuted. Not near like those in Rwanda and elsewhere. But nevertheless, theirs is a reward. By the way, ye are the salt of the earth. That speaks a lot. I lived a whole year practically on salt beef on a long trip. Salt with no refrigeration. Ye are the salt of the earth. Tragedy. If the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is good for nothing. And to be gathered of men and cast out and trodden underfoot of men. That speaks a volume to all of us that profess the Lord Jesus Christ. We're good only for pleasing the Lord. And if we drop out like Pliable in Pilgrim's Progress, you'll be laughed at. Salt, preservation. That means look after yourself. Abound with self-judgment. Back in the early 20s, when I was 17, I was walking the streets of Sydney, Australia, looking for a job. Didn't find one. So I went down to the docks. Big freighter there. And they needed a man, an able-bodied seaman. I went to the mate and was given the berth. We went down to New Zealand. And there loaded thousands of carcasses of frozen lamb and mutton for London. And after we left New Zealand, the two refrigerating engineers were prominent on deck, pulling up string and looking at a thermometer. And it didn't matter how awash the decks were, we went around Cape Horn, they were taking a check on the temperature of a very, very valuable and perishable cargo. They'd put into Montevideo, get bunkers, coaling. The coal burner. But that was a very delicate cargo. Needed constant provision. I thought that was an illustration of our need of constant checkups. All right, you're the light of the world. A city hid upon a hill cannot be hid. Well, when you're the light of the world, actually you're the only Bible that many people read. They've got your eyes. They've got their eyes on you. You're writing a chapter, a verse every day. By the things that you do and the words that you say. Men read what you are, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? Well, we go on down that chapter. Think not that I have come to destroy the law and the prophets. I have come to fulfill the law and the prophets. For verily, I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle of the law shall fall, till all be fulfilled. Say, that law that is so apparently belittled in the early chapters of Romans and in Galatians, let me tell you, the law is not a dead letter. It's going to be fulfilled. Who's going to do it? This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. He came in the volume of the book that was written of him, to do thy will, O God. Now don't think that humanity is through with the law. Well, thank God we're under grace. But God is going to see that law is fulfilled when our Lord establishes his kingdom. Now it's our privilege even to go above the law voluntarily. Then it will be compulsory, for he will rule with a rod of iron. Then the law will be fulfilled. It's not a dead letter. God is going to have it honored. But for us, we can enhance the law. Put your slice your one side of the cheek. You can put the gloves on. No. Turn the other. Who's done that? It was Carl Glock, brother of the Glock, used to come here now, and both of them are now in heaven. He worked in the Westport powerhouse in Baltimore and had an altercation with a fellow workman who punched him in. He said, take the other one. And that got no more notoriety than all of the gospel advertising. And that man was the light of the world, and he was a marked man. But But that incident, just an ordinary common laborer, but brought him into spiritual significance. The Lord doesn't tell you to do that. But in the still, still no more. What does Ephesians say? Go to work and contribute to charity. If a soldier says, carry my pack, and it was a Roman law to carry it for a mile, you go 2 miles. So think not that I have come to destroy the law. We are here to voluntarily keep it and to enhance it. Then our Lord had brought his sermon to a conclusion. You know, sermons are very significant, great speeches. Great one was given down there at Gettysburg. 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal, so on. If you study that sermon, you can date it. And the only way you can label that sermon is what it celebrates, commemorates. Churchill's great speech. Britain, perhaps, can now arrive at her finest hour. What occasioned that? Hitler's domination of the beaches at Dunkirk. Here's this sermon before us. How can we account for it? It's there. Go to the 6 scholars, many of them teaching in seminaries. I read about them in the Easter edition of U.S. News and World Report about Easter. And all of them, every one of them, denied it. Some said it was a fantasy. Others thought maybe he went to the wrong tomb. Or maybe it's an accretion developed through... Who would want to develop them? To have any attachment to Christianity in those early days, say there are plenty of lions, they're hungry there in the arena. The only way you can account for that wonderful sermon is that came from the lips of him as no other man spake. You can date it. How many here, I wonder, have read F.F. Bruce's Are the New Testament Documents Reliable? Only has so many pertinent arguments. Just right there as you read it. And one of them is the New Testament has a first century atmosphere. And this sermon, there it is. It couldn't come from Isaiah. Oh, they thought that one of the prophets had risen up. It came from that one that in that approbation of heaven also added, hear ye him. Well, like all sermons, they need a conclusion. And our Lord, the master grammarian, did the same thing. He said, enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many, many there go in thereat. Is it any wonder that on another occasion, great multitudes were about him, and there blurted a voice from the crowd, there are many that be saved. Well, the Lord had answered it in his sermon. Are you among the few? Few there be that find it. Well, the many that reminds me of those who say, what about the heathen? That's not your problem. Thank God for that. It's not mine either. The Lord will look after that. What did the Lord say? Well, he didn't address the heckler personally, but he said unto them, enter ye in at the straight gate. You look after number one. See that you're saved. Examine yourself. See whether you be in the faith. And then our Lord said, because straight is the way, narrow is the gate, and straight is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. And he continued, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. There's a commandment. I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. The elements, they're going to come. You're going to be tested. The rains descended, the floods came, and the winds beat upon that house, and it fell not. Why? Founded upon these sayings of mine. A good foundation. Then he says, but he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him unto a foolish man that built his house on the sand. Rain descended, gonna come, floods, and winds. And that house fell. And there's a qualified phrase there. And great was the fall of it. What happened to the people that heard that message? It presupposes one is saved. Because in that first verse that I quoted to you, he spake unto his disciples. The world is not going to hear. Turn the other jaw, go the second mile. You're not going to listen to that. Go into your secret office and pray. Pray. But who's going to listen to that? When you get saved, thank God for that, you get a new motivation, ambition. I know when I trusted the Lord. Frank, what's happened? What's happened? I had to learn later that I've been born again. I'd received the Holy Ghost. It's only disciples. They're going to be candidates for that sermon on the Mount. And every one of us are going to be tested. And thank God that we are going to be tested. You can discover how genuine you are or are not. Now up there in heaven there's no testing. The heart that feels the healing touch is never felt above. His angels know his blessedness. His well-worn saints, his love. And that comes through, well, in the wilderness, God will teach thee what a God thou there hast found. We're disciples. We're being equipped for something, for graduation. Great is your reward in heaven. We're being, that's where we're going. And I'm in my 90s. And according to all statistics, it won't be long before I'm there. And to see his face. Well, when he was, what was the reaction? The people were astounded because he spake with authority. You know, truth is truth. And it will not compromise. It's not flexible. It's an ugly word today. With humanism and what have you. If it feels good, do it. It's up to you. Thou shalt not. Oh, that law. Committed or... You, the lock! Oh, talk about... Who's going to listen to that? He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Who? Disciples. He spake unto his disciples, saying, here is the mandate. All of those things are repeated in the epistles. You say, it belongs to that kingdom coming along. Well, it does belong to that kingdom too. But then it's going to be enforced that it's your privilege and mine to do it now. In the morning meeting, we were speaking about Satan. Well, our Lord was here to defeat Satan on his own terms. And it had to be done. And then he paid the debt. And you have Satan appearing before Job. And God says, are you considered Job, my servant? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. What have you been doing, Satan? I've been going around the earth. And who do you spotted above everybody else? Job. You. Me. You consider my servant Job? Oh, yes. I'm proud of him. Yes. But you're not playing fair. Well, if I can say it regardedly, Satan there is saying, God, you're not playing the game according to the rules. You put a hedge around Job. And that's the reason I can't get at him. Well, God had nothing else to do but to say, all right, take away. Satan, do anything you want, but don't take his life. Tested. Tested. In all this, Job sinned not. And he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And when Job came through that, he was as gold tried in the fire, which, say, Satan is a great ingredient in your life and mine. We've developed a character that the angels up there can never develop. And so we read, God to bruise Satan under your feet shortly. He's allowed the devil to be at large, to let you have a little share in meeting the devil on his own turf. So, he spake as one having authority. How we need virtue. That which comes to us when we really, truly trust the Lord Jesus Christ. On another occasion, our Lord was milling his way through the crowd. Jairus was saying, come on, my daughter's dying. And he turned to Peter and said, who touched me? Peter, that's ridiculous. The multitude throng you. Someone hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. Oh, how many are touching the Lord just for the mere profession? How many have received the virtue? Daughter, your faith has saved thee. She said, but if I can just get through. She had to strive to enter the straight gates. The gates open wide, but you've got to strive to get there. She had to push, in spite of her infirmity, through the crowd. The old Methodists used to speak about getting through to Christ. She did. And that's the result of us being here tonight, this morning, to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. We have received the Holy Ghost, the Pentecostal blessing. We've been born again. We're saved. And that's why you are showing the interest in this message this morning. The man in the world, he's not here in here that darken or to occupy one of the pews. So what a privilege it is to hear the voice of him that spake as never man spake, and with authority, truth, that which has no flexibility. Let us now bow our heads in prayer. Our God, we thank thee for the privilege of listening to thy word, and we ask thy blessing upon it. For we know that only thou canst create the anxious thought. And we thank thee that by your sovereign grace we have received your virtue, and therefore we are candidates, maybe very poor, but nevertheless candidates to hear your sayings and do them. And we pray thy blessing upon the message and the remainder of the day, in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.